The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of Notice71.com. I am your humble host, as always, Jeff Elliott, a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2013. Happy Tuesday to you. We're on YouTube, we're on iTunes, so coming at you in multiple formats. I'm trying this YouTube thing, so we'll see if it works out, because when I have callers, it kind of there's kind of a delay in the video, but for you listening on iTunes, you won't even notice. So, all right, on today's show, we are going to, we're going to have one caller, and then we're going to jump over to the mailbox. You can go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff, and it will appear in a future edition of the CPA Reviewed podcast. And I also handpicked five forum posts to answer, and by handpicked I mean I picked the most recent five that that were podcastable. All right, first up is Evaristo.
Hello, Jeff. This is Evaristo Palmer, and a question I had for the podcast was, with FAR, with there being so much material for the exam, what is the best way to approach studying for FAR? My exam is May 22nd. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's been said, and it's been said in the forum recently, that FAR is a mile wide and an inch deep. Now, if someone else took exception to that, because they think it's more, it digs in deeper than just an inch, and that's probably true. But the point is, there's a lot of information to cover, as Evaristo said. So, Here's my number one little ninja tip. People spend too much time studying for FAR. And by that, I mean they spread it out way too much. So they'll take like 3 months to study for FAR, and that's way too long. You should spend no more than 6 to 8 weeks. Probably 8 weeks is reality. For six weeks, you can get by with maybe like Audadine or BEC. But for FAR, no more than 8 weeks, because what happens is you – In week 10, you forget what you studied in week one. And that's really what the Ninja framework is built around. And it's so that you don't have redundancy. You don't do all the multiple choice questions. So whatever your first module is for FAR, you watch the videos and then you work the multiple choice questions. And then later on, you're like, I have no idea what I did on those multiple choice questions, because that was 5 weeks ago. So then you have to go back and redo those all over again, and it's redundant. And that's why the Ninja framework says do the multiple choice questions all at, like, watch all the videos all at once, take notes, do the multiple choice questions all at once. And so my number one tip is to not spend more than 8 weeks on financial. Now, and so that's my best little nugget. Now, obviously, I can say work a ton of multiple choice questions, and that's true. And also, so yeah, the best thing that you can do for your FAR prep is to work a ton of multiple choice questions. But everyone knows that. That's a given. But my deal is, especially when you're reviewing, you take your weakest topic first. So let's say it's governmental accounting. You're horrible at governmental accounting. So you do a set of 20 questions in your software. Maybe use the Wiley Test Bank. You do a set of 20 questions in your software over nothing but governmental accounting, and you do it in study mode so that you see the answers right after right after you do the question. And then you can click around on each answer, and each multiple choice question gives you four learning opportunities: why one is incorrect, why one is correct, and why the other three are incorrect. And if they have explanations as to why they're incorrect, I mean, sometimes an explanation is not warranted. It's just A is correct. But oftentimes they will have explanations as to why this was a trick answer and why it's wrong. And so you work your sets of 20 until you get to like a 70% proficiency, which is arbitrary. And it's an arbitrary number, but you get to 70% proficiency in governmental accounting. Then you move on to your next weakest. Maybe it's pensions or whatever. So, Evaristo, I hope that helps a little bit. All right, now we're going to jump over into the mailbag. Again, you can hit me at another71.com, upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff. Keith says, before tackling FAR and audit, what is the least demanding section that I can take in May and only use multiple choice questions and Ninja? All right, Keith. Number one, like the 10-point combo, the ninja study guides and such, until I add a video course, which is in the works, the Ninja Notes, Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, those are supplementary. Now, some people have passed using only the Ninja Notes and like the multiple choice questions, like the Wiley Test Bank or whatever, and the audio and passed. Is that a best practice? No. Do people do it? Yes. But I'm not going to say, just get the Ninja Notes and a bunch of multiple choice questions and pass, because I'm not going to set myself up for angry emails. And plus, I don't want to give you false confidence. Now, I mean, if you understand the concepts and the Ninja Notes and you do like a million questions, will you pass? Probably. But it's not a best practice. So I'm just tossing that caveat out there. Now, what's the least demanding section? If you only wanted to use Ninja Notes and the Wiley Test Bank, it doesn't say Wiley Test Bank, it says multiple choice questions. I was going to say BEC, but there's some pretty deep stuff in there with like financial management, and cost accounting can get kind of quirky too. So I'll go with Reg. Business law, no problem. Like Ninja Notes, multiple choice questions, boom, done. But there's some stuff in regulation, like property transactions, especially like light kind of exchanges, especially when you get into the mortgage swap area. You really got to dig in deep under those multiple choice questions. But at the end of the day, I'm going to see how many cliches I can use at the end of the day so that we're all on the same page. If you watch your videos and you have notes, okay, the instructor's telling you all these concepts. So yeah, these notes. And then you go and work the questions and you're like, wow, these concepts are good, but these multiple choice questions, they really attack it from a weird angle. I'm really glad that I worked the multiple choice questions. All that to say, you can understand the concepts. You can understand what's in the Ninja Notes. You can take what's in your lectures. But the multiple choice questions, am I doing the George H.W. Bush, read my lips, no need to taxes? At the end of the day, you need to work a ton of multiple choice questions, bottom line. So I would say, that's a long answer. All that to say, try it with Reg. If you had to pick one using only multiple choice questions, a ton of them, and only the Ninja products, try it with Reg. Now, I'm sure there's some Reg instructor out there who's, but that's just my opinion. So, and my opinion is sometimes wrong. Just ask my wife. Nathan says, I'm trying to figure out a schedule for auditing and BEC. Can I prepare for audit in 4 weeks, or is it better to plan for 8? Do you think BEC can be done in 3 to 4 weeks, or should I plan for longer? Well, I passed auditing in like 2 or 3 weeks, not because it was planned, but because I procrastinated. I'm like, oh man, my auditing exam is coming up. So I just hit it. Like I spent 30 hours studying 1 week, while I worked full time, and I may or may not have been studying at my desk. So can auditing be done in 4 weeks? Yes. Are you going to have to spend 25 to 30 hours a week? Yes. Can BEC be done in 3 to 4 weeks? Yes. 25 to 30 hours a week? Yes. Unless you can do that, just plan for longer, as you said. Nathan writes, I'll be taking audit for the third time on April 27th after scoring a 70 and a 69. I could swear I passed the test after I took it a second time, as I thought I really knew the material well. What can I do differently this time to make sure I pass? I have my video course as well as the Wiley test bank. Well, you scored a 70 and a 69 on audit, so that means that you're close, but there is a you have a conceptual hole in one or more areas. And so my question is, you have to do what you did the first time around to get up to that 70. But if you didn't take, of course, your exam's coming up. So if you didn't take notes over your video lectures, and I guess this more pertains to people who have more time than 5 days. If you did not take notes while you're watching your videos, do that this time. If you're like highlighting, as some people say to do, I don't know if you watch Duck Dynasty, but as Phil would say about highlighting, take notes and rewrite your notes. You would not believe how many people email me like, Jeff, I finally took your advice and I rewrote my notes and dude, it worked. Well, yeah, it works. So, 5 days left. If you have notes, 5 days left, don't rewrite your notes in 5 days left. If you're like a week or 2 weeks out, that's okay. So 5 days left, it doesn't say that you have the Ninja notes. If you have the Ninja notes, I would say read those nonstop. It says you have software like the Wiley Test Bank. Like I said before, start with your weakest area and work backward. Hopefully you've done things completely different than your first time around or first two times around when you scored your 69 and 70. And hopefully you've taken good notes and all that. But with a limited amount of time, make sure that you do a ton of multiple choice questions. And grab my free audit. What is it? Yeah, it's audit sampling notes. Go to another71.com, click study video, and I'll send you my free audit sampling audio notes and flashcards. So that's, I'm not even really plugging anything. It's just free materials. So I would do that. But to back up, if you score a 69 or 70 and you didn't use the Ninja framework, the next exam, use the Ninja framework. So that's because it works. And again, you can go to study videos, click the study videos, and you'll get the Ninja Study Planner, and you'll see all how to do the Ninja Study framework. Okay, I'm gonna mess this name up. Jakade, I'm from Kansas, and so okay. It says, I'm now approaching the nonstop multiple choice question step for the Ninja method and was wondering what's the most ideal way to tackle this. Is it best to methodically do 20 to 30 multiple choice questions for each main study topic until the results are consistent and then move on to the next topic? Or would it be better to be doing 20 to 30 random multiple choice questions until I've completed a large number of questions? All right. For the nonstop multiple choice questions portion, that's when you're actually doing the questions the first time. And you want to do all, like, let's say that your course assigns a set of questions, do all of those. Let's say your FAR software has, I don't know, let's say it has 100 pension questions. I would do at least 70 of them. Where it gets into the 20, the sets of 20 mini testlets, that's in your review phase. That's in your final section. So, and I would never do random sets of questions over different topics. I am not a proponent of practice exams at all. And because really it's a waste of time. It tells you nothing. If you score an 80%, they don't use the same psychometric scoring process that the AICPA does. It can give you false confidence, or if you bomb, it can really, really shake your confidence. And so yeah, when you're in the nonstop multiple choice questions, do the majority of the questions. So do at least 80% of your questions. And then when you get to the review section, that's when you hit your sets of 20. Elaine writes, my question relates to work experience. Do firms usually sign off on the experience requirement after only 1 year as required by the state, or do they require you to be there 2 years or longer? I would assume that it's a state issue. So if you go to your, well, okay, this is me. When I went to my boss, I said, hey, this is the state of Kansas. This is what they need. Anyway, I believe the state of Kansas requires a licensed CPA. I can't remember how I did it, but pretty sure the person did have their license still. When you work in industry, it's harder and harder to find someone who still actually has like their active permit to practice, because a lot of people let those go because you don't need them in industry anymore. But some people keep them up just to do it. And so whatever your state says, but if you work for a large firm, I guarantee you they have policies in place, and they know exactly they know exactly what you need to do. So I hope that answers your question, but your firm personnel should know. If it's a small firm, they might not know. And so you just print out the state requirement stuff. If you have a question about the state requirements, call them and they will help you out. Sarah writes, if you graduated with a BBA in econ, but went back to school for an accounting certificate and hypothetically passed all four parts of your exam, would it be easy for you to land a job in order for you to acquire the 1 year experience? Well, I don't think, Sarah, that your education has anything to do with you landing a job because all they're going to care about is whether or not you pass the exam. And so the question is, if you pass the exam, is it easy to get a job? And from what I'm seeing on the forum, no. Yes, does passing the CPA exam help your employment prospects? Absolutely. But times are tough. And I mean, breaking news. But I'm seeing more and more people, and I don't know if it's just because they post on the forum or they email me, but they pass the exam and they can't find a job. Now, maybe they work in a smaller part of there's no big cities around them or something. So, but, the best time of year to find a job is already passed. And that's in like November, when firms are gearing up for their big tax push. Okay. If you're trying to find a job in public accounting, I would call up your small mom and pop CPA firms, and maybe they don't even meet the requirements to be called a CPA firm. Maybe they're just an accounting firm, because it's like you got one CPA principal owner and a bunch of lifelong tax professionals that are not CPAs, but they own an equity stake or something. And don't email me like, oh, Jeff, you can't have anyway. But my point is, if you can't find a job, the small mom and pop tax prep places, and I'm not talking about the ones like on the street corner, like, you know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they're actually owned by CPAs. They're not some chain. Get in with them, do some, say, hey, let me take on 20 of your bookkeeping clients. Let me do your 940s, your 941s, your liquor tax returns, your quarterlies, yada, yada. Let me do that. And get in that way. That's how I got my job. But, it was 2001. Yeah. I was looking for my job right before 9/11 happened. And no, that's not true. I was looking for my job right when 9/11 happened, and that was pre Sarbanes-Oxley. So there wasn't like this big SOX explosion. That job market was just about as bad as this one. So I speak from experience. Okay. Last question. Knock this one out. Cedric says, after taking a section, do you recommend spending 3 weeks or so waiting for your score to see whether or not you need to retake that section, or take a short break and begin studying for your next section? I would take a short break and begin studying for your next section. All right, let's hit the forum. Like I said, I found five forum topics at the top. They were just quick and easy. Tom writes, does anyone know how long it takes to hear back from NASBA on an issue that you had with your exam? And Tom expanded in another post. It was the same issue. The Sims took forever to load. And so here's the deal. If you have a mess up on your exam, and so like let's say it in his situation, it took 6 minutes for the simulations to load. Well, what's going to happen is the quality team is going to go in and say, yep, Tom had a problem with his exam. We can see it in the log. So Tom has two options. Number one, we'll give Tom a free retake, probably in the next window, and he will never see his score from the previous from this current one. So, so Tom, if you take him up on that offer, you will never see your score. Like you won't be like, I mean, you'll never know if you scored a 73 or an 83 or a 93. And then option two is just accept your score as it is. So, and just live with it. And if you get your score and it's a 74, you can't go back. You can't go back and be like, hey, yeah, I want to take you up on that offer anyway. It's passed. Another post. How does everyone deal with defeat? I passed far on my first go on any part and I was exhilarated. I recently walked out of rec feeling more defeated than I've ever felt in my life. I couldn't possibly feel more of the opposite feelings. How do you stay motivated? Well, you have to keep in mind, why do you want to be a CPA? If it's because your dad or your mom or your spouse or your boss, well, if your boss is telling you to pass the CPA exam, that's pretty good motivation. If your wife, if it's someone else's goal, nah, it's not gonna happen. So why do you want to pass the exam? Is it for you? Is it for your resume? Is it just because it's something that you want to do? You don't ever want to work in public accounting, but it's just a personal goal. Well, that's why. You always got to keep in mind why you're in this mess called the CPA exam. And that's got to be what gets you out of bed every morning at the crack of dawn. So I'm 14, by the way. So why do you want to pass the CPA exam? That's it. And that's what has to keep you on. That's what has to keep you going. Because if it was easy, like Sally in the cubicle next to you, would be doing it, but no, she doesn't want to take the exam. Didn't want to go back to night school to get her 150 hours. Didn't want to pay up the nose for a review course. Didn't want to wait 5 weeks to get their score and only to fail and have to do it all over again. Didn't want to pay $1,000 for a notice to schedule. Didn't want to have to say no to nights out with friends. No to all the shows that she likes to watch. And the only side benefit is that you get out of family reunions. So why do you want to pass the exam? Keep that in mind. Another question. B. Jensen says, using old BEC materials for a 2013 exam. I passed BEC in 2010 using the GLIME prep book. I started law school and neglected CPA exam prep. Does anyone know if the coverage in the 2010 book will be adequate for the 2013 exam? No. Well, for BEC, okay. happens to be BEC. BEC might be the one, but there's been stuff that's been added, like international internal auditing standards, and let's see, regulations. What was it? The business structures go from regulation or to BEC or vice versa. Anyway, I can't remember. BEC has changed. I would only, like, if you're going to use old materials, 2012 would be the earliest or the oldest I would use, with the exception of auditing. Come July, I would not use 2012 materials for auditing. No way. 2010 materials were written in 2009. So, I mean, people who nickel and dime and buy old materials and stuff, I mean, I haven't seen the statistics. I mean, there are no statistics that anyone's collected that I know of. But, I mean, you're saving a few bucks and increasing the risk that you are going to have to shell out another $250-$300 for another notice of schedule. Just do it. And not to mention the amount of study time that you're wasting, because you could be wasting old material. If you're studying FAR questions that still cover SFAC 2, well, that was superseded by SFAC 8, it has to do with like materiality and relevance and reliability and all that stuff. And that's the difference between a 74 and a 75. I hope it was worth not shelling off the extra, gosh, for $67, you could have had the updated Ninja notes and you would have known that. Although I did see a 2013, of course, I can't verify it, but someone said it was a 2013 question from a very expensive course that had SFAC 2. Of course, they said it was 2013. Maybe it's 2012, but that still shouldn't be right. Maybe anyway. So, moving on. Advice for BEC retake. I took BEC in February and got a 70. I felt like I needed a little more, and I could have passed. I'm adding the Wiley Test Bank to Becker and the Ninja Notes to help supplement. This is from Journey to Fate. How do you guys suggest I tackle this? Take notes on the chapters, research lectures. I have all my note cards all ready from the last time. Confused about how I should go about this. You scored a 70 last time. Go back through the Becker material. This time, use the Ninja framework. Watch all the videos, then do the multiple choice questions, then rewrite your notes, then do your sets of 20, hardest to easiest, 70%. Do that this time. Final question, how do you prepare for IFRS? LeGeorge says, hi guys. My question is, how do you prepare for IFRS on the exam, and what are the percentage allocations for the exam? I took FAR 2 years ago, and it was before IFRS. I don't know about the percentage allocation, but ignoring IFRS is like ignoring governmental accounting. Although I doubt IFRS is 10% of the exam, but anyway, not a good idea. So, the easiest way is just to use like something like the Ninja Notes. It's like not to plug the Ninja Notes, but well, yeah, I guess I do intend to plug Ninja Notes. But basically for IFRS, you know, GAAP says this, but IFRS says this. You need to know that. And so what the Ninja Notes is a couple pages of that. Actually, it's like, 10 pages? Anyway. But you need to know the difference between IFRS and GAAP. If you need to, Google it or something. I'm sure you can find something out there. But so how do you study for IFRS? Just read a summary. And then I'm not sure if the Wiley Test Bank separates them out, the IFRS questions or not. But anyway, know the difference between IFRS and GAAP. All right, everyone. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Shoot your questions. Go to the71.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner. Ask Jeff, and it'll appear in a future edition of the podcast. Or you can call the Ninja Hotline. Area code 323-834-9132. That's 323-834-9132. And I will... Well, usually I give away a Ninja 10-point combo. So... Evaristo, you win a Ninja 10-point combo light. Ninja notes, Ninja audio, Ninja flashcards. And if you called previously and left a message for the Ninja 10-point combo, it will appear in a future edition of the podcast real soon. I just saved your question so that I would have one for the next podcast in full disclosure. All right, everyone, have a good one. Take care. Talk to you soon.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
See that? He's being funny.